Hey, welcome to today's podcast of Next Step Influencers, where we didn't come this far just to come this far. And today's podcast is why the six-figure income earner moved into his mom's house. And you saw the title and you heard it right. And I just want to record this in the moment. And often, I don't like to talk about victories or things I'm going through until really after they're already done happening, right? I would talk about it afterwards. But in this moment, I want to challenge myself. And lately, this past year, I've wanted to challenge myself to share things in the moment versus, you know, afterwards. I want to catch myself in the moment. So in case you don't know, and I'm guessing you don't, I was audited for my business for the years of 2011 and 2012. So as I'm recording it, it's 2018, and I was audited for, you know, a business that I was doing 7 years ago. And long story short, I couldn't prove things that I filed for in terms of receipts and whatnot for 2011, because back then I was 24 years old. It was 7 years ago, and I didn't have receipts because I don't have a degree in business, and I was really just shooting at the hip. And even though my business was thriving and doing really, really well, I was never told to keep receipts or anything of that nature. So when it came to proving things that that I've done, I couldn't do so. Long story short, they audited me for 2011 and 2012 because I couldn't prove 2011, and I ended up owing between fees and penalties and interest for 7 years. The IRS nailed me for $78,000, and I'm like, whoa, like, wow, I owe that, and I couldn't compromise or do anything because I'm a 30-year-old. At the time, I was a 30-year-old who's making six figures a year, and I had a choice to make. I can make payments for a certain amount of years, like a couple thousand dollars a month, or I could, you know, take a home equity loan out or empty out my Roth IRA and my life insurance, and, you know, and I really prayed about it, I talked about it with my significant other, and she and I just decided, you know what, why don't we just sell my house? Because we can pay off with the equity in our home, we can pay off the debt, and we just want to live debt-free. We don't want to go into a marriage or really enter any time in our relationship. We just want to be debt-free whenever possible. So we decided to sell the house. So literally, as I speak right now, I'm packing my house up. My office is, you know, I took down all the trophies, I took down everything, and it's just been really interesting. And I'm doing my first open house tomorrow, and I just, you know, it's been really a great experience. And I know that sounds really weird. How can being audited and being responsible for $78,000, how is that, and losing that, how is that a good experience? It's been a really great invitation for me, and it's been really fun. So really the past couple weeks has just been getting things ready and really experiencing the moment, like, wow, I'm really selling my home. And until I decide to buy a next house, I'm just going to move in with my mom. So most people, on an outside perspective, when a 31-year-old decides to move into his home, it's usually because things aren't going well. Things fired them in the face. But for me, I just feel like it's invitation from God to just really sit there and say, hey, man, that stuff doesn't own you. I have something more for you in this season. And I just believe it. So it's really cool. And it got to a point where I was just so calm and peaceful and really just experiencing in freedom during the past couple of weeks of just really getting things moving while running a business, while traveling and speaking and blogging. It got to a point where my girlfriend was even like, hey, you know, you seem a little like too okay with this. Is everything all right? Like on the mental standpoint. And, you know, it just made me really think because, you know, don't mistake peace and calm with giving up. And it's not apathy, in my opinion, of being calm and being so okay with this. It's really experiencing freedom on the journey. And again, when I talk to college students, I say, hey, man, our destiny isn't a destination. It's freeing our heart on the journey. So growth doesn't always show outwardly. So like, for example, if I was buying a bigger, better home, that would might that might show growth outwardly, but inwardly, you know, it might not be in your financial aid. For me, in this case, it's inwardly. Inwardly, I'm really growing and being rooted for what's next in my life and really just taking a next step with God, just saying, hey, possessions don't own me. You know, what I have, like whether it's a home, a vehicle, a car, a relationship, a preference, that doesn't own me. And you can take those things away and it doesn't take away my joy or my peace, my purpose, my passion or my significance or my identity. It doesn't take any of that away. So I can't move forward in life of taking next steps if I'm constantly trying to hold on to what I have. And we might say that our stuff doesn't own us, but do our actions actually reflect that? So let me say that again. We might say that our stuff doesn't own us. Like, oh yeah, well, you know, obviously my car, my house, it doesn't own me. But do our actions or our words actually reflect that? I mean, so you think about that. We say that things don't own us, but then we try so hard to keep what we have gained. Like our job titles, in this case, my home, or our stigmas, or our perception, or what we think people think of us. We try so hard to maintain it. And in the end, success can really stop us from becoming who we were meant to be. Like, they can stop us from taking our next steps. And stuff in holding on to what we have can keep us from what God has in store for us. So for me, I had to make a decision. You know, I can try to make things look great on the outside. I mean, I can keep my home, take a home equity loan out at, you know, 4 or 5%, or I can just pay a couple $1,000s a month and no, my, you know, the failure of, you know, the IRS, and I couldn't prove things, and I could really just look great on the outside. But I really feel like, man, this is a great platform to really admit that you don't have to have it all together to experience peace and freedom and significance and passion and taking next steps. Things can really fall apart on an outwardly sense in terms of, you know, I have goals financially and I have goals to do things in my life. And yes, this puts a dent in it, but it does not take away from my purpose. It does not take away from my joy and freedom. So I thought it was just a great next step for me to really just let go of what I'm holding on to, in this case, my home or a goal of financially. And I'm just really excited for this. And I know it sounds really weird, and this isn't a feeling. This isn't a pep talk to myself. This isn't something that fleets after I'm done with this podcast. This is something I've been really experiencing the past 3 to 4 weeks during this whole journey. So every little next step I've taken in faith the past 10 years has really given me more faith to take this next step. To sell my home, to give up my preferences or my facade of always having everything together, and maybe even my pride. And I'm very excited about this next step. And again, I want you to get this. I don't wanna, I'm sorry to hear that, Dave. I don't want a response or a comment to this podcast like, oh, I'm really sorry to hear that, Dave. I mean, really, sorry for what exactly? What are you exactly sorry for? Sorry for my heart becoming more free and letting go of things that are probably holding me back anyways? Sorry I get to spend more time with my mom and my little sister when I eventually move in with them once I sold my home? You know, are you sorry that I get to detach my heart from stuff a little more? Or are you sorry for taking a leap of faith that bigger and better things are coming for me? I mean, are you sorry for, you know, am I sorry for giving up control so I can experience more peace and freedom? Or sorry that I'm giving up something so I can make more room in my heart for something better for me and more fruitful in my life, to live a life uncommon and again, is taking next steps. I mean, if anything, I feel like this calls for I'm excited to see what's next for you, Dave. I'm just excited to see what God's doing in your life. I'm excited to see how your heart's moving in this situation. I mean, this seems so upside down for most people or some people, but you're excited to sell your home and move in with your mom temporarily? Abso-freaking-lutely I am. And yes, I made up a word. Abso-freaking-lutely I'm excited for this. Because with every valley comes a mountaintop eventually. And if I can't experience purpose and freedom and joy in the valley and in the journey of this right where I am right now, how can I expect that at the mountaintop? Again, it's not about the destination for us. It's about the journey. And who we are becoming is way more important than what we are doing. Let me say that again, because I probably said that too quick. So who we are becoming is way more important than what we are doing. And everything we do comes from what we believe about ourselves, how we treat people, how we act in situations, how we make decisions financially, how we make decisions in general. And I believe I don't have to control everything anymore. I believe I'm taken care of. I believe I'm loved and deserving of it. Not because of anything I've done right or wrong, but because of what Jesus has already done for me. I have nothing to boast about, and I have nothing to be ashamed of, especially in this situation. I'm working from victory, not for it. And this is why I boldly and peacefully are moving forward into this next step and journey and chapter in my life. Not because of any technique I'm practicing or some metaphor or words or some words to make me feel better, but because truly I believe this within my heart. I am filled with excitement and joy for this season of my journey. With Jesus, the best is always yet to come. So again, this isn't about being religious enough so God moves in my life. It's about reaching out and grabbing what Jesus specifically has for me. So what does this have to do with you? So my question to you is, what are you holding on to that is probably holding you back? What preference or what success have you had that you are trying to maintain or hold on to that you really feel like you should give up or you feel like you should pursue a new chapter in your life? Because if we're too busy holding on to what we have, really that can hold us back from what we feel like, you know, what is in store in our next chapter of our life or what's going on. And it really stops us from becoming who we are meant to be. And another question I could ask is, what gift do you feel like is really in your situation right now that really you don't think is what you have planned in your life? What I mean by that is, what is something that's going wrong or you didn't expect or kind of came out of nowhere that really you're like, oh, that really stinks, or I wasn't expecting that. Kind of like when the IRS audited me and I got that, you know, the whole thing going on. Like, I wasn't expecting that, but there's a huge gift in every single situation. So what do you feel like your gift is in that situation that you didn't expect or didn't want to happen? Because there always is one. Or another question I love to ask to spark something in you is, what do you feel like you need to give up in terms of control that you really feel like you need to give up so you can experience more freedom or peace in your life? What do you feel like you need to control at all? And I don't want to be anything specific because I want it to come from you, not from what I say to you. And what do you feel like just in general, what do you feel like Jesus is inviting you to? Because in every moment, in every situation, good or bad, there's an invitation for us to really experience more of who we are and what we're created to do and our next step. And you've heard my story already on this podcast, but what do you feel like is being, what do you think the invitation for you is? What are you being invited to? So you don't have to have everything together to be invited into something. You don't have to have it all together to experience peace and freedom and purpose and passion and significance or love. Or you don't have to have it all together, because if that's the case, there's probably very rare opportunities in your life that you're going to get that, which means we have no invitation, which means we have no purpose or significance. And I just don't think it's a great way to live. So again, what do you feel like your invitation is in this very moment for you? What do you feel like your heart's calling you to do? Because again, I really believe whether things are going amazing for you right now, which if that's the case, awesome, great. Or if things aren't going so well, or maybe you're somewhere stuck in the middle, I feel like there's always an invitation for us and there's always a next step. And I always believe that the best is always yet to come. So even if things are going amazing for you right now, that's awesome. But there's still, so the good news is there's still more to come and the best is yet to come. At least that's how I view it. Because of Jesus in my life, there's always the best is yet to come. So what is that for you? So, hey, if you really enjoy this podcast, please rate it, please share it, please subscribe to it. I would just, you know, I would just be really honored if you did that. So thanks so much for listening. Hey, welcome to today's podcast. This is Next Step Influencers, where we didn't come this far just to come this far. And I'm driving today. I'm going hunting. It's a Friday morning. It was supposed to rain, but it's not. So I decided to get up and go hunting this morning. But I also made a big decision this morning that I've been thinking about for a while. And
So for those that don't know, I do keynote speaking and motivational speaking, leadership speaking to colleges, the colleges across the United States. And a lot of my speaking is done outside of New York, where I live, Buffalo, New York, and like, you know, Texas, Arkansas, Florida, you know, you name it. But, you know, I was thinking, I'm like, well, do I really want to speak all around the country? And at first, you know, a couple of years ago, that sounded really exciting, sounded fun. And that was 2 years ago. And now I'm really starting to get my name out there, and I'm starting to get booked a lot. Like, I'm projected to probably get 20, 30 schools in 2019, where, you know, the year before I was getting like six. So it's getting to a point where during the school semester, in certain months, I'm going to be gone, you know, every week. And, or, you know, I'm going to be home for 2 days, and then I'll be gone for 3 days. I'll be home for 2 days, and I'll be gone for 3 days. And, you know, I think, well, when I get married and have kids, you know, what am I going to do? And, you know, to get a little personal, I'm helping, like, plan an extension site or a church, if you will, in Buffalo, New York. And, you know, I want to be on the leadership group. I want to be involved. I can't be doing that if I'm missing, you know, most weeks or every other week or a couple weeks a month. And that's something that I don't, you know, want to do. So I've been praying about it. I've been thinking about it. And on a worldly perspective, you know, I decided, you know, I'm going to take a step back from speaking. And it made me kind of sad at first. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I've done so much work the past couple years, whether it's blogging or, you know, sending, you know, e-newsletters to all these schools or networking at all these events, paying to go to these conferences to speak so I get booked, and just countless, countless hours traveling and, you know, starting podcasts and all this stuff, just so many hours of work and networking that I love doing. But, you know, now after a couple of years of getting my quote-unquote dream coming true of becoming this speaker, getting booked often now, now I feel called by God to step back and say, hey, man, I only want you to do, like, I want you to take a step back. And for me, a step back means speak locally, whether it's in Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, Ohio, something I can drive within 6 hours in. And at first, I'm like, oh, man, I'm taking a step back. I've worked so hard for this, but I really feel like it's a step backwards for an invitation to move forward eventually. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, I could keep moving forward and keep getting booked and keep moving forward and have a success on an, you know, outwardly appearance or, you know, according to the world, if you will, you know, you're successful, you're getting booked, you're creating your dream, et cetera, et cetera. But I just feel like there's something more, and I don't know exactly what it is yet. But I feel like this is just my next step in terms of a lot of different things. Like, when I'm a parent, when I get married, when I have kids, like, I don't want to be traveling 40, 50, you know, schools a year. I don't want to be on a plane every other week. Or I feel like I'm taking away from my family, you know, and my significant other. Like, I just don't want to take away from her. And, you know, I'm taking away from, you know, being poured into by my church community. And I just feel like, you know, and I'm missing, you know, things like events with friends, family, like, whether it's, you know, it could be a birthday or a celebration. Like, I'm just missing that. And I just really don't want to. And, but I also want my to pursue speaking as well. So I was really caught in the middle. And it's just really cool how, if I want you to picture someone walking forward, like, they're taking a step forward towards their goals, their dreams, their aspirations, whatever you want to call it. And then all of a sudden they just stop. Like, and then walk backwards, like, one step or two steps. And by most people, they're thinking, well, that person's not moving forward in life. They're actually walking backwards, right? They're actually not going forward. But I think sometimes we got to take a step back to move forward. You know, at least in terms of purpose and destiny and what we feel like God has called us to do. And for me, I'm in the middle of taking that step backwards, like, right now, today, this morning. I'm like, I decided I'm not going to some of these conferences next year to go speak in different states so I can get booked. I've decided that I'm putting guardrails on how often I'm going to be out of town, you know, for 2019. I'm sticking to it. And that means turning down money. You know, that means turning down, you know, quote unquote, a goal I set for myself a couple years ago of speaking all across the country and possibly outside the United States. That's turning that down. And, you know, that doesn't sound like fun as I'm speaking this, but I know it's the right decision. I know my heart. I know that it's just something I got to move forward in. I got to take a step back, because when I'm doing that, now I'm creating space. When we're taking a step backwards sometimes, or our next step, I feel like when we're creating space so we can give room for what's next in our life. Because if I just keep doing what I'm doing, I'm trying to take next steps, I'm trying to walk into my destiny, if you will. That's not a destination. It's just walking into my next step until, like, you know, and when I take a next step, I'm like learning who I am and who else created to be and what my destiny is. And it's really cool just figuring out along the way versus having everything perfectly planned. You know, when I'm taking next steps, sometimes I'm taking a step back to create space so I can create room for what's next in my life. And it's really exciting, but it could be a little sad at the same exact time. So I just want to encourage whoever's listening to this that maybe you feel called to take a step back, or maybe you feel called to take something away so you can create space for in your room, whether it's a relationship, or maybe it's a friendship, or maybe it's a job. Or maybe it's a goal that you've been holding on to a while, but you're in the middle of it, and you're just like, you know what? I don't feel like I'm called to do this anymore. I don't feel I'm as excited to do that anymore. I just want to encourage you where you are, and I just want to get you in this moment while I'm thinking about it, even when I'm driving, even though I'm not in my studio right now at home recording this. I just want to share in the moment, despite not knowing what the victory is yet, despite not knowing what exactly God has planned for me yet, I just want to share in the moment that I'm taking a step backwards so I can move forward into my destiny, and even though I don't even know what it is yet. And most of us don't want to take next steps until we know exactly 110% sure what is next. And I feel like that's holding on to something that we shouldn't hold on to. And that's only taking, anybody can take a calculated step. Anybody can make a move when they know 120%, you know, what's next. Anybody can do that. That doesn't take faith. It doesn't take, you know, and I just think that we're missing the invitation when we do that. I feel like we're missing the invitation of living life of how we were supposed to be, which is taking next steps into the unknown sometimes and have freedom and be empowered despite being overwhelmed sometimes and letting some dreams go so you can have something bigger and better in the future. So I just want to challenge you today that if that's you, if you feel like you need to let something go, whether it's an emotion, a fear, a guilt, past, anything, again, in your heart, I don't want to be too specific because I want it to come from you, not me, that we can take a step backwards so we can move forward. Despite we don't even know what we're moving forward necessarily in yet. So I just want to encourage you right now. I'm going to go hunting, and I hope you have a great day, and I'll talk to you soon. Hey, welcome to Next Step Influencers, where we didn't come this far just to come this far. And today's episode is called Give What You Got. I actually recorded this podcast last week when I was in Cuba. So for those who don't know, I was in a mission trip in Cuba building a church for a whole week last week. And I recorded this podcast because I really felt like I wanted to share it. But it got lost because there's no Wi-Fi there, or as the people call it there, Wi-Fi. There was no Wi-Fi or Wi-Fi there. So I lost the recording. So here I am back in snowy Buffalo. I just wanted to record it and to make sure it doesn't get lost. So I think it's just a really cool story. So I want to start off with the story. So while I was in Cuba, this is the second or third day in Cuba, there's 11 guys, including me, that we would go from our hotel or bed and breakfast. I wouldn't really call it a hotel. It was more of someone that gave us rooms for the week. We would go from there to the construction site to build this church. And we would split up. So half of us would go by horse and buggy, and the other one would go in this like 1960s Buick that the pastor's son would drive us in. So seven of us would cram in this car. It was pretty funny. So, and what was really cool about the story too, is I just want to preference this, is that building churches in Cuba is actually illegal. And you can't purchase land to build a
Church. So we actually got a permit, but the permit's for like a multi, quote unquote, multi-purpose community building. But really, it's for a church. So that was really exciting to me because I'm a rebel and I love doing things you're not supposed to do. So that was actually really fun. But anyways, so the second or third day in, we were again building this church. And what was really interesting is that we saw the pastor's son put his car on a jack and took the wheel off, and we were kind of interested why he was doing it. And we're like, "Hey, what's going on? Why are you, what are you doing?" And basically, what we got out of it, because he speaks Spanish and we can speak pretty little of it, was that his screw fell off his brakes, off his caliper. I'm not a mechanic or anything like that, but. He pointed to the caliper, the screw came off, and he was trying these different screws that he could find in his toolbox and whatever he could find to see if it could somehow fit the caliper. And we're like, "Hey, what are you gonna do if these don't work?" And he's like, "I don't know, I'll figure it out." And just for those that don't know, there's no car parts store in Cuba. There's no Carquest, there's no Autoport, no AutoZone. There's just, there's no store for that. So if you don't have the part, you gotta figure it out. So a lot of things are MacGyvered. So just to give you an example, like when you open up his hood, you can see that since it's a 1960s Buick, you can tell that his old brake fluid container was gone. So he actually used an old coffee can for a brake fluid container. Just to give you an example of what we're working with here. So he was trying all these different screws, and I saw his dad before he brought a screw over from the tool shed. He was just like, I can tell he was praying over it. He's like, "Man, I could tell that in Spanish, even though I don't understand Spanish too well, I could tell that he was just praying for it." And it was so cool to see him do that and like really rely on God for this. And but long story short, the screw did not work. So it wasn't like that. The miracle wasn't there. But what was so interesting was this random guy that was walking by the construction site, because it was in a neighborhood, in a poor neighborhood. And it was just so interesting to see him walk by. And you could tell he had some things in his hand, which they were screws. And the guys asked him, "Hey, can we try one of those screws, please? And we're trying to fix this car." And we tried one of them, and it worked. Like, it actually fit the caliper perfectly. It was just so weird, and I thought it was just so cool. I thought it was a perfect story that we all have something to give, even when we don't think we do. We can think, "Well, I have nothing to give. I don't have it all together." Or often we can let what we can't do interfere with what we can do. Or maybe we just weren't planning on it that day, right? We thought it was just gonna be a normal day. We just kind of go about our regular routine. But God can really show up in the most random circumstances. So just like the guy randomly strolling by with the screws in his hand, we can think nobody needs what we have to give. They don't need to hear our story. They don't want to be bothered. We think we have nothing to give, or maybe it's just not worth giving, as we tell ourselves. Or maybe we were just, or most, I guess I'll say this, most of us, or at least me, don't think we have something to give because we are still fighting battles most people know nothing about. But we do have something to give. And even when we don't think we do, we do. So to give an example of this, was what was really, really cool was that 36 hours later, so like a day and a half later, we were at our hotel, or the house we were staying at, whatever you want to call it. And the owner's daughter, who helps serves dinner every night, because we had dinner there every night as a group, as a whole, and it was really cool. And after, we were smoking some Cuban cigars, just kind of relaxing, unwinding from a good day's work. And the owner's daughter said, "Hey, my daughter would like to do like a dance for you guys." And what I mean by dance is that a lot of people like to express their faith differently, right? So some people like to express it by singing, some people like to express it by dancing, some people like to express it in just various different ways. And he said that his daughter choreographed this dance with this worship song, and she'd love to show you guys. And we're like, "Oh, sounds good." So she did this choreographed dance. You could tell she put her heart and soul in it, and it was really well done. And we were just like, "Wow, that's amazing." And you can tell she was really nervous. And in fact, it was probably her parents that put her up to it, because they just knew that she was working so hard at it, and they probably just want her to, like, just kind of get it out, if you will, right? So after she got done doing the dance, she sat down. You can tell she was kind of nervous, probably what one of her people were thinking, even though we were clapping and saying, "Wow, you did such a great job." Like, "Oh, muy bueno, muy bueno." I just felt like man, I wish I could just pray for her because she just took a next step and she was nervous and she did it anyways. And it just really inspired me. And I was like, well, I don't know Spanish that well. There's no way I could pray for her. She wouldn't even understand it. And I just said out, kind of out loud to the group, like, man, I wish I could just pray for her because she's taking the next step. And I'm just so inspired by it. And they're like, Dave, like, come on, like, you can totally do it. Even though she doesn't understand, like, you should still go for it. You can pray in any language. And I remember the guy from 36 hours earlier that gave the screw to us, who was probably randomly just walking by, wasn't expecting to give anything, probably was just going about his daily routine. And just walking by, So I just that inspired me, and I remembered that. I'm like, I'm gonna give what I have, even though I don't know Spanish that well. So I went over there and I asked if I could pray for her, and I totally did in English. I highly doubt she understood what I was saying, but you can tell she just had this huge smile on her face. And then she prayed for me in Spanish, which I didn't understand what she was saying. And it was just a really cool moment. And we hugged, and then and then I went back to the group, and I just thought it was a really cool moment. So again, the random guy that 36 hours just really encouraged me to do that. So I just want to ask these three questions to you, and I want you to ponder them. So the first question is, what do you have to give, or what do you have to give, despite maybe not thinking it's worth anything? What do you have to give, despite maybe not thinking it's worth anything? Is it your story? Is it your struggle? Is it something that you can't seem to beat or maybe overcome? Because I'm telling you, it's worth something. It's worth something to someone because someone, and more than you think, are struggling with something that you're struggling with. Or they need to hear what you have to give, or this, whether it's a story or, again, like the screws in this guy's hand. Like, again, someone needs what you have to give. So what do you have to give despite maybe not thinking it's worth anything? Question number two. Most of us let what we can't do interfere with what we can do. So what does that mean to you? What can you do despite limitations? What can you do despite limitations? What are you letting interfere with what you can't do, interfere with what you can do? I can't speak Spanish that well, but I didn't want, again, what I can't do interfere with what I can do. And what I can do is pray for her. So I wanted to do that in that moment. So what can you do despite limitations? Despite maybe not having any time. The last question, number three. If you're anything like me, you don't share your story until it becomes a cool story or there's a victory. My theme for 2018 was sharing despite victory. Whether I have it yet or don't, whether I have my breakthrough or not, I just want to share it and give what I have to give. Someone needs to hear it. So what can you share today despite not having it all figured out yet? And one thing I want to say here too is that what was so amazing in Cuba, and saving the best for last year, is that there's this pastor who literally has built up 60 different churches in Cuba. And I thought it was so cool that he has trained or kind of apprenticed all these different pastors, and eventually he's become 60 churches now. And what was even crazier, over a span of 20, 30 years, by the way, that they have built every church themselves. And what I mean by that is they haven't subcontracted out like anything. Like, they are the masonries. They are the concrete workers. They are the electricians. They are the plumbers. They do everything themselves. And I thought that was so cool that so many times we can sit there and say, well, I don't know perfectly how to do this or perfectly how to do that. And they just started building and probably acquired the trades over the last 20, 30 years. And God provided. And I thought it was just so cool that, wow, like, again, they're giving what they have and they're doing it with their all. I just thought it was so cool. So I just want to share that as well. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe to it if you want more. So if you want more of it, please subscribe. You've got to hit the subscribe button and it'll let you know when a new one comes out. So, or please rate it and or please rate it because this helps a ton with the podcast and it helps others hearing it. So when we rate it, it moves up in the rankings and it helps others see the podcast better. It comes up more in the search engines, whatever you want to call it. So share it, rate it, subscribe it. That would just, I would just be stone cold honored if you did that. I also have a book out called Never Complete. So the book is called Never Complete. So you can get that on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any big store, if you will. You can get it online. So I also have an ebook on Kindle. So again, Never Complete, you can get it on Kindle or any ebook platform, if you will. And if you love audiobooks, I actually have it on audio as well. So if you go on Amazon, you look up my book, you can get it as an ebook, you can get it as a physical paperback book, or you can get it as an audiobook. So if you like that, please do it. And also please review it, because again, that just really helps me out a lot. So again, you're listening to Next Step Influencers, where we didn't come this far just to come this far.